Hey, Bill Young is a Sabre member. He's a professor of religious studies at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. He wrote a book about Chief Myers, which we're going to preview later on in the season. He was the catcher for Christy Mathewson and Rube Marquard way back then. But he's got this book out. It's called J.L. Wilkinson and the Kansas City Monarchs. This is a McFarland Publishing book, and Trailblazers in Black Baseball. But Bill, nice to have you with us. I think this is one of the unknown stories, and I didn't really know it until getting to know you and seeing the book. And so it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hey, Bill.
It's great to be with you, Marty. Thanks so much. It's a special privilege and honor to be with you on Jackie Robinson Day. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it is. And tell us about J.L. Wilkinson. And,
indeed.
Yeah, and the Kansas City Monarchs. And I told this to Willie McCovey the other day. About the story. And, you know, no one really understood who he was and why he is so special. So tell us about it, because I want people to get this book.
Sure. One of the real unsung heroes of baseball. J.L. Wilkinson was a visionary baseball executive who helped organize the Negro National League in 1920, along with Rube Foster and others. And first white owner, as you said earlier.
Owner of the whole, you know, this is the deal.
Yep. But what he is most known for is how respect he had among his players. The great Buck O'Neill, who most everyone knows, said that he knew two people who were without prejudice in his life, who didn't have a prejudice bone in their body. One was his dad, and the other was J.L. Wilkinson. And I listened to many interviews with Monarch players that were recorded in the 70s and 80s, and without to a man, they said that he was a great, great person. And he made some real contributions. For just one example, in 1930, he introduced a portable lighting system to baseball, the first to do it successfully, 5 years before the major leagues introduced night baseball. But in 1944, Jackie Robinson was just about to be discharged from the Army. He didn't have a job. He was looking for a job, and he ran into one of the Monarchs players at an Army camp who said, the Monarchs are looking for players. Why don't you contact them? He did. He heard from J.L. Wilkinson and his partner, Tom Barrett, and they offered him, paid him $400. A month. And if they had not signed Jackie to the Kansas City Monarchs, Jackie wouldn't have been able to showcase his baseball talent. Branch Rickey was scouting players in the Negro National League and Negro American League where the Monarchs played. That's where he was looking for that African American who he thought could breach the color barrier. And so Wilkinson gave Jackie the opportunity. Baseball wasn't his best sport. Football and track were probably his better sports. But as everyone knows, he was exceptional. He batted .345 with the Monarchs in the months he was with the Monarchs, and he was ready to go.
Well, Bill Young is with us. The name of the book is J.L. Wilkinson and the Kansas City Monarchs. And, of course, you could get it at McFarland Publishing. That's www.mcfarlandpub.com. And we've had a number of authors on from McFarland. But the thing about that impressed me about Wilkinson was his sense of humanity.
His sense of humanity, yes.
Yeah, and maybe you could delve into that a little bit. All this is
sure.
In the book, and it's great stuff, Bill. It really is.
Thank you so much, Marty. I really learned
a lot from it. Go ahead.
Great, sure. Wilkinson took care of his players. He learned that early on. He began his baseball career with a women's traveling team, and then he introduced the famous All Nations team, which was a multi-ethnic team, which really helped lay the groundwork for the integration of baseball. So 30 years before Jackie Robinson, Wilkinson was doing things that set the stage for blacks and whites playing together. He showed that they could. But he took care of his players. Let me just give you one example. People may have heard of Ted Double Duty Ratcliffe, called Double Duty because he pitched and caught in the same game. He got signed by the Monarchs in 1945, same time as Jackie did. But he was really injured on one of his first games. And, you know, most owners probably let him go at that point. Wilkinson sent him, put him on a plane, sent him to Chicago for the surgery he needed before there was really medical care for players. And that's just one example of many that could be cited. This guy was a really, truly exceptional man. Similar character to Jackie Robinson. Strong religious faith,
yeah.
Strong moral character.
Mm-hmm. from Iowa. Jay
grew up in Iowa. His parents taught him to respect people of all races. So he had a good foundation.
Yeah, and I love his name. Of course, it's Jay Leslie Wilkinson.
Nice.
Correct.
And the parents said, okay, it's Jay Leslie Wilkinson. We'll leave it at Jay, and you figure out what you want to call yourself.
It's exactly right. And he never actually chose a first name. Other people did. Called him James, called him John, but JL. His players called him Wilkie.
What a story. And, Bill, thanks for shining some light on JL's his mark on society and baseball. And I'm looking at Marty Lurie, who is the baseball Jedi of the Bay Area, and we were all kind of none the wiser. Why do you think he was such a kind of a mysterious figure? There has been less stories about JL.
Well, you know, mysterious, but he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2006 with the last class of Negro Leagues players to go in, along with 14 other Monarchs who are in the Hall of Fame. So he's been recognized, but not well known. Certainly flies under the radar. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to talk about him.
Great.
Bill, how long did it take you to do this book, and what was the research like for it? Because it's very well done.
Great, yeah. Well, this book got started at the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City, and I just want to plug that museum and say if you haven't been to the museum, I know you have, but it's a jewel here in Kansas City, right alongside the Jazz Museum, so you can learn about baseball and jazz at the same time.
Now, did you know that the word jazz originated as a baseball phrase?
No, you're teaching me something.
Yeah, the last week we had on Josh Chetwynd, and he did a book on sports idioms. And jazz was used in the early 1900s to describe a baseball team that played with vim and vigor and excitement. And then person who coined it moved to Chicago and was a musician and said, boy, the kind of music we're playing is exciting and vim vigor. We're going to call it jazz.
Huh.
Well, great. I'm glad to learn that. And that's the way the baseball was played in the Negro Leagues. And as you said earlier, that's the brand of ball that Robinson carried into the major leagues. But I was in the Negro League Museum, and I saw a picture of the 1924 Monarchs at the first Negro Leagues World Series. And they were all lined up there, and there was this white guy at the end of the line. I said, what's he doing there? And that got me interested in Jim Wilkinson. And fortunately, the white papers didn't cover Negro Leagues teams all that much, but in Kansas City there was an African-American paper called the Kansas City Call, and they covered the Monarchs well, and that was the major source of my research on this book, along with other sources.
Well, on this very special day that we recognize Jackie Robinson and the contributions he made to America and society and baseball and the social change, it doesn't happen without J.L. Wilkinson and the Kansas City Monarchs. And the other part of that I really enjoyed in the book was learning, I mean, if they didn't have enough rooms, Wilkinson would bunk in with the players.
He would bunk in with the players. Yeah, that's what Buck O'Neill said and others said. He wasn't really an out front civil rights leader, but he did things like insist that the segregated seating be taken down in the minor league team that the Monarchs rented in Kansas City, and he on the road he did his best to limit the impact of the Jim Crow restrictions that all blacks faced during that time.
Very good, and he's in the Hall of Fame 2006,
nice.
And he got in. And I didn't know the story.
Yeah.
So
well,
Bill, you did a great job with this, William A. Young, and I guess book is through McFarland. Can you get it other places too?
It's like everything else. It's on Amazon.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and thanks also for mentioning the Myers book. That was my first one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting it from Gary Mitchum, and then we'll have you on later.
He's sending it out to you.
Yeah, we'll have you on later in the season talk about Chief Myers.
Right.
The catcher for Rube Marquardt and Christy Mathewson. He's got an amazing story, too. Bill, have a great day, and it's a pleasure having you on.
Thanks, Bill.
It's my honor, Marty. Thanks. Have a great day to yourself. Thank you.
Very good. All right.
Well, you know, from J.L. Wilkinson, who would bunk with his players, I mean, you just look at those who followed in his footsteps, Cal Ripken and Barry Bonds, who were known for bunking with their teammates, right?
Well, and also Willie Mays told it. You know, Willie's birthday is May 6th.
Yeah.
It is going to be a weekend.
Oh, we need to have Willie, come on down, brother.
He loves you. You know that.
Come on.
So I'm hoping he comes here. But Willie tells a story when he was in Hagerstown.
Yeah.
And he had to stay in separate quarters from their, but the teammates came in through the window.
Yeah.
And stayed with them that night, and then they left in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's the way they did it.
But it's important to get these stories out there because young people that are, well, we just had a couple of cute little kids that are doing a little league come by, full of personality, vim and vigor, jazz and all that. They probably hear a story like this and go, what are you talking about, right? But it's important to shine a light on people like J.L. Wilkinson and Jackie Robinson and all of the people that contributed to breaking down the color barrier, and, et cetera. Because, I mean, without these stories and without the statue, I'm not a big statue guy, but I'm so glad that Jackie's going to get one. You got to hear these stories and appreciate how far we've come.
Well, that's the American innings. That's what I'm doing.
I'm glad you're doing that, Marty.
Do it in small sound bites, small vignettes like a Bill Young, and show it to someone who's 12 years old, 10 years old, little leaguers, and through the eyes of baseball.
Right.
And Jackie Robinson, and teach a certain part of history. I think it's great.
No, I love
I'm very excited to be doing this. I am.